This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. State lawmakers are making progress toward a budget deal. The House and Senate are working on a compromise for teacher raises and Medicaid spending. They're also considering ways to reform Medicaid's system. Meanwhile, lawmakers passed a bill to review and possibly replace Common Core education standards. Here to talk about the latest from the legislature is WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jessica Jones. Welcome back, Jessica.
Thanks, Frank.
Also, we're joined by WUNC Education Policy Reporter Rima Crace. Hello, Rima.
Hey, how are you?
Jessica, back to you. Two streams, really, of Medicaid legislation making their way through the legislature, one to reform the system, the other to pay for it. Let's start with the budget talks. Where do we stand now on budget negotiations with regard to Medicaid?
Well, with regard to Medicaid, I guess I would just say that now House and budget negotiators have generally agreed on a Medicaid shortfall forecast, and that was one stumbling block to the negotiations, and they agreed on those numbers. And they've come to compromises on some other things as well, but there's still work to be done just in terms of putting together a budget adjustment for the second year of the two-year budget cycle. So I think agreeing on the Medicaid shortfall numbers was one thing that negotiators really had to get past. But again, there are some other things that lie ahead before a budget agreement can happen.
And funding levels, of course, is the critical or a critical issue. Senate leaders have come up with a compromise. They have reduced somewhat the cuts that they had been calling for. Is that right?
Well, that was part of the agreement over shortfall forecast numbers. So basically what the Senate did was they decided to reduce the amount of money that they wanted to set aside for Medicaid over the next fiscal year. And that was a big stumbling block. So they reduced that number by about $100 million. And House budget leaders were very happy about that. But you've also mentioned a bill that would overhaul the way that the Medicaid program works. And that is actually a new bill that could potentially change the way that Medicaid is administered in North Carolina.
All right, talk about that. The Senate has offered a new proposal on that. Tell us what Senate leadership came out with, I believe, yesterday.
Right. Well, we've known for some time that the Senate has wanted to move the state's Medicaid program to a managed care model. Now, that's not the kind of model that the governor wants and that the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Aldona Vosh, wants. Now, the bill that was introduced yesterday would mean that Medicaid patients would be treated by a provider-led network like the one that's in place in North Carolina right now. But it would also add the option of having a managed care network administer treatment to Medicaid patients as well. And that managed care network would be run by an insurance company, so it could be similar to an HMO, for example. So we'd have that bill would put into place essentially two systems, two very different kinds of systems in order to treat Medicaid patients.
And that part of the package has come under some criticism from doctors and hospitals, am I right?
That's right. Doctors and hospitals across the state really do not like the managed care model when it comes to treating Medicaid patients. They don't think that that is a good way to treat Medicaid patients. They say it's not going to result in good outcomes and may not be as efficient cost-wise either. And I should just say that right now, Medicaid patients are treated by providers who belong to a network called Community Care of North Carolina. And that it's a kind of public-private partnership of physicians and healthcare professionals who seek to treat patients as a team, really. And it's an excellent model that's seen as a model actually across the country by policy professionals. And it's that network that the governor would really like to expand and build on in order to treat Medicaid patients. But Senate leaders would like to see something different.
Including Republican Senator Ralph Hayes of Spruce Springs, who would like to see that change and, again, to add essentially HMO's managed care into the picture. Let's listen to what he has to say.
I think you will find that our plan is a compressed schedule to what has been previously proposed. However, is not inconsistent with what has happened in other states. At this point, you basically have a four-year time window in which we expect the provider-led plans to be at fully capitated.
Fully capitated. Sounds lethal. Ralph Hayes of Spruce Pine. What did he mean, Jessica?
That phrase means that the managed care companies that would be involved would be fully responsible for the cost. So if under this proposal, if managed care companies were responsible for Medicaid patients, basically what would happen is the state would give them a big lump sum of money, and then the managed care companies would take that money and figure out how to deliver efficient care on their own, basically. So after 4 years, those companies would be fully responsible for their costs. It would be sink and swim for them at that point.
So they get a pot of money based on the number of people they have enrolled. When they ran out of money, they'd have to figure out what to do about that. So they have to be careful sort of going forward how much care they offer throughout the year to make sure they don't run short of money. State's not going to back them up after that.
Right.
So, Rima, that's a part of the budget. Of course, Medicaid, a big part of the budget. The other sticking point in the budget negotiations has been pay raises for teachers. Rima Kreis, what does the latest proposal from the Senate say?
So the Senate is offering an 8% pay raise for teachers. And that's, before they've been really adamant about offering 11% raises. They said it would have been the biggest pay raise. But the House wants to offer only 6% because they say big pay raises would come at the cost of teacher assistants. So in the Senate's old plan, they said that they would have to get rid of the teaching assistants in second and third grades to give this 11% raise. But by going down to 8%, they said we can at least keep the teaching assistants in second grade and get rid of them in third grade. But they said that the second grade teacher assistants would be paid for with non-recurring dollars, which that's, budget speak. Basically, that means they wouldn't be around next year once the new fiscal year starts unless they find money for it. So, the Senate is saying we're coming closer, and the House has been pretty, they've been staying at six, and they're considering that offer right now.
All right. So that, and originally with that 11% raise, as you said, came with the proviso that the teachers lose teacher assistance in both second and third grade. If you come down to 8%, as the Senate now suggests, it would accept. Then they say, okay, I tell you what, we'll keep the second grade assistance. But the third grade would go, and those second grade assistants are year to year now. We're not going to put them in on the 2 year plan.
Did
I get that right? So then, and also in all of this, House Speaker Tom Tillis is talking about giving districts more power over and more authority over the budget when it comes to teacher raises. Tell us about that, Rima.
Yeah, it was a suggestion. So earlier this week, when the House was listening to the Senate's offer, it was a very diplomatic, talks, which is very different from what we've been seeing. And so the House was just asking questions about what this 8% raise would look like. And House Speaker Tom Tillis said, well, maybe we should give some school districts some flexibility if they don't want to take that 8% raise and they want to keep money for teacher assistance. But what's really interesting is that some lawmakers have been making this point that school districts get money for teacher assistance, but they don't necessarily use that money for teacher assistance every year. Like last year, for example, school districts got a total of $450 million for teacher assistance, and they only used about 20% of that they did not use for teacher assistance, about $90 million. And they used that money to fund fully licensed teachers and maybe local projects. So, Tillis was saying maybe we should give some schools flexibility if they rely on this money for different things. But again, it was a suggestion. We'll see if they continue talking about that.
We're getting a legislative update today on the state of things. Rima Kreis is with us, as is Jessica Jones. Rima, the state is also on the way to replacing Common Core standards, or at least reviewing them. Tell us about that bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yesterday the House passed a bill to replace the Common Core standards. The governor has not signed it yet, but he said that he will sign it. But it's a really interesting bill because, the language says that it will replace Common Core standards. It will set up a review commission of about 11 people. Some of them will be appointed by the governor, some by legislative leaders, and some by the State Board of Education. And so this group would come together and make recommendations on the Common Core English and math standards for public schools and what they think should be changed. And then the State Board of Education has to approve them. But it's interesting because everyone seems to be interpreting it in different ways. When it passed the House, some of the staunchest critics of Common Core said, this is a victory. We're on our way to repealing Common Core. But when the governor said that he was going to sign the bill, he called it a Common Core review bill and said, this is just simply reviewing the Common Core standards and making a thorough, more comprehensive review, and making sure that we have the best standards. So it'll be interesting to see what the commission you know, actually ends up doing and how dramatic it'll be.
Well, the political discussion around this has been interesting, and Democrats have said it's been a political issue from the start, simply because Common Core includes federal standards, so it's a way to get back at the Obama administration. Here's Democratic Representative Tricia Cotham of Matthews.
Why are we really doing this, and what is the real reason? Is this really to better education, or is this more political in nature? And I worry that this is more political, that this is against the federal government, that the Department of Education, and if we throw in President Obama's name, then goodness.
Rima, just a few seconds left. How do Republicans respond to that?
You know, Republicans and maybe even some Democrats, they say this is a nonpartisan issue, and to some degree it has been. I mean, we've seen folks on both sides of the aisle, you know, really critique Common Core. But to be clear, the government did not create the standards, but they did have some role in encouraging states to adopt the standards by offering education grants. So, you know, lots of folks have said it's a political football.
All right, Rima, thank you very much. Rima Crace is our education policy reporter. Jessica Jones, the Capitol Bureau Chief for WUNC. Just ahead, the story of one sperm donor who builds a close relationship with the mothers he helps. You're listening to The State of Things on North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.